I want to introduce to you Brother Brian Davis of Westside Church of Christ in Round Rock. He serves as an elder there. He's coming tonight from the subject, the Gospel of Restoration, Acts chapter 15, verses 14 through 18. So, Brother Davis, will you tell us about the Gospel of Restoration?
Good evening to all of you, and it is such an honor to be invited to participate in this great nationwide gospel call. I appreciate so much the work of Brother Stroud and Brother Brooks, Brother Wiggins, and Brother Flunder in bringing this opportunity to us. And in our time together tonight, I'll ask us, if you have your Bibles open, to begin with turning to Matthew chapter 17, verses 11 through 13. That's Matthew 17, verses 11 through 13. We'll get to Acts in just a moment. But while you're turning there, let me tell you a brief story of something that just happened to my family as we were traveling in southern Africa, recruiting students for World Bible School and coupling those students with volunteer teachers who teach by correspondence. We were traveling, and we had just finished. Me and my two boys, we had preached 8 gospel meetings together and had a wonderful trip, and we thought this trip has really gone smooth, and we were heading towards the capital of the country of South Africa, where the airport was, where we were going to exit the country and return home. And we had just had such a smooth and uneventful trip, we thought it was remarkable. But as we approached the capital of that country, Johannesburg, there was a police stop banning any access into the city on one of the major highways, what would be our interstates. And the policeman pulled us over and stopped us and said, "You mustn't go any further." And we said, "Well, we have an air flight. We have an airplane ticket. We're about to leave the country." He said, "No, some political unrest has happened, and riots have broken out all over the country, and cars are being burned, and in fact, over the next few days, 150-plus shopping malls had been looted and burned to the ground. Several thousand people lost their lives in that political unrest and in those riots." Several of our friends in that country, members of the Churches of Christ, they took us in and they shielded us, they protected us, and they actually got us through back roads to the airport. And as we were in a hotel in the airport, we kept seeing all of the newscasts from around the country. And as the violence was playing itself out, people on the newscast would always be asking the same question: how have we come to this state of moral decay in our country where we are literally destroying our own country? What an important question for any nation to ask themselves. In fact, as we look in Scripture at the very beginning of time in the book of Genesis, we see that God made a principle of decay in creation. It's natural for the created order to be planted and to grow and to have a time of growing and flourishing, but then a time of withering and death and decay. But what God never created was for moral decay to be a principle in the life of mankind. No, that was not God's plan. That was actually our choice. To depart from God's will, to depart from God's way of doing things, and that resulted in moral decay. Our choices to disobey God, what the Bible refers to as sin, is the cause of moral decay in our society. God's plan for us was to be His children for eternity. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 tells us about this plan in the heart of God, even before He created the heavens and the earth. The difficulties of the nation of South Africa in July of this year And the subsequent questions of what is the solution for moral decay is one that we can find great promises to address as we look into scriptures tonight. The first verse I asked you to turn to, Matthew 17, starting in verse 11, is where Jesus is coming down from the mountain of transfiguration with some of his apostles. And after some questions from the apostles, Jesus answered and said, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. Elijah was a great prophet of the children of Israel, and in his prophecy he said there's a day coming where all things will be restored. This is a promise of God. Verse 12, but I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize him, but did to him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that he was speaking to them of John the Baptist. You see, John's ministry was to announce the coming of the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who would be able to restore all things. The original language of this word restore in this particular passage refers to health. It's the kind of word that speaks to someone who is in poor health needing to have their health restored. And so the promise of God is that good spiritual health will be restored through Jesus Christ. Let's move over into our passage for this evening in Acts chapter 15 now. Just a couple of books over from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts. Chapter 15, starting in verse 14. Here the apostles have returned to the church in Jerusalem to report on what God is doing. And James, the brother of Jesus, one of the leaders in the church of Christ in Jerusalem, is addressing a group of church leaders. And James says, starting in verse 14, Simeon, better known to us as Peter, the apostle Peter, has related to us how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. Now, at that time, the Jews considered themselves the chosen of God, and the rest of the world, the people not chosen by God, would be the Gentiles. But here Peter is saying God is now opening up his family to all people on earth. And James goes on to quote a prophecy from the prophet of Amos in verse 15 when he said, and with this the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, after this I will return and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old. Here again we see this word restore as the gospel of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed not only among the Jews, but to all the nations on earth now. And in the original language of this particular usage in Acts of the word restore, it has the connotation of a broken down old building that's out of repair, being fully restored to its original grandeur and functionality. And so a synonym would be to rebuild to its original specs. Well, as we consider this promise of restoration of God to us, we need to consider what does it take to rebuild a fractured society from moral decay? Many people look to social movements, to political movements, to economic solutions. But the scripture is very clear that moral decay cannot be addressed by all of those other means. Yes, those other means may be appropriate in various settings, but if we want a total solution to moral decay, we have to look to the promise of God to restore us, to reconcile us to himself, because our sins have separated us from him. But God has promised to make a way for us to be restored to him, to be restored to his grace, his goodwill, to have our loving relationship between our Creator God and ourselves fully restored. This promise is not only to the Jewish people, this promise is also to every nation on earth. As the Apostle Peter preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, he invited all nations to obey that gospel. Now, some of the experiences that you just heard in South Africa may put you in mind of some of the struggles of our own nation over the year of 2020 and, frankly, much of 2021. Our nation has been experiencing riots. In fact, many of our friends in South Africa would call and ask if we were okay, and then they would usually apologize, embarrassed about what was happening in their country. I assured them that for the last year and a half, we had been trying to avoid riots in our own country. And so this isn't something peculiar to one nation or another. It's peculiar to the whole world, moral decay. Our country has been experiencing racial tension in terrible, terrible strife. Our country is experiencing moral decay to where what the Bible calls wrong and sinful is often referred to as right and normal in our society today. But in place of riots, through the promise of restoration, God promises us peace. In place of racial tension, God promises us loving relationships among all nations, nationalities, races, economic levels. And instead of moral decay, God promises us healthy relationships. You see, it was not people just like me who helped me through those riots and my family through those riots in South Africa. It was people of very different cultures, very different races, very different economic levels, very different experiences in life. But there was something that held us together more profoundly than any political system, any economic system, or any social cause. It's the very blood of Jesus that held us together and bound us together in a remarkable love that can only be found in Jesus Christ. If you would turn in your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 13, we're going to read verses 5 through 12. Here the Apostle Paul is speaking to a young church in a big metropolitan city that was a crossroads for all of the salesmen and the markets of Asia Minor and Greece and the Roman Empire. This was a place where the marketplaces converged. And so it would be similar to New Orleans or New York in our context. He says to the young church in verse 5, this is 2 Corinthians 13 in verse 5, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? You see, these were now Christian people. And Paul is reminding them that Jesus is in you. Unless, he says, indeed you fail to meet the test. Verse 6, I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test, but we pray to God that you may not do wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, though we may seem to have failed. Verse 8, for we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. Verse 10, for this reason I write these things while I am away from you, that when I am come, I may not have to be severe in my use of the authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. Verse 11, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. You see, even though this is a promise of God, the restoration, the gospel of restoration is a promise from God, and even though God makes it possible by paying the price through the blood of Jesus Christ, to where it is a free offer to us, from what Paul is teaching the church at Corinth, we see that the promise of restoration still requires a choice from each one of us. You see, God does not force us to obey his will. We have a free moral choice to make. We must choose to obey his gospel and come into a relationship with him. In Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 2, we see another aspect of this principle of restoration in the New Testament. Again, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 2, here God calls us into participation in this great promise, where it reads, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." This reminds me of a similar passage in 2 Corinthians where Paul talks about us being called to a ministry of reconciliation. Here, the Galatian letter calls us to a ministry of restoration. You see, it's not just about ourselves. Living in Christ is about loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, and loving those around us, our neighbors, our acquaintances, and yes, even sometimes our enemies, enough to share with them the life-giving message, the life-giving hope of the promise of restoration through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't it fantastic to realize that our lives can be full of purpose and meaning in a world full of chaos and darkness and hatred? We can actually be these ministers of reconciliation, ministers of restoration of the light that Jesus brings in to our lives. The last verse we want to look at tonight is from the Apostle Peter himself. Turn, if you would, towards the end of your New Testaments to 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 11. Once again, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 10 through 11. Here the Apostle Peter, who also served as an elder in the Lord's church at this stage in his life, this is towards the end of his life, he's writing this particular book to people of the northern provinces of Asia Minor who had become Christians, but who were beginning to experience persecutions because of their choices. They were beginning to be rejected by their own cultures, their own home nations, their own home societies, were beginning to find them not in sync with the values and the perspectives of their pagan lifestyles. And so they were beginning to sense persecution. It was light at the beginning of 1 Peter, but by the end of 1 Peter in chapter 5, Peter is warning them that more severe persecution is coming. And he knows that this persecution is going to be a difficult trial. And when people experience persecutions, we are tempted. We are tempted to give up on the hope and the life that we have found in Jesus Christ. We're tempted to fear the chaos and the darkness around us and to give up on the things that are the promises of God. That's a temptation that can affect and touch all of us, Christian, non-Christian alike. But Peter affirms and assures those who had obeyed the gospel. He says in verse 10, "And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." In the original language in this case, the word restore has the context of making something perfect. Wow, that's a tall order to make something actually perfect, but that's what the promise of the restoration of God through the gospel of Jesus Christ does for us. It literally makes us perfect, washes away our sins, and when God looks at us, he does not see our shortcomings. He does not see our past. He sees the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, that has washed us clean and made us into what he created us to be. Now, granted, when we are born again in Christ, we start as young babes in Christ that have to grow into full maturity. But that's okay. The blood of Jesus is strong enough to give us that time to grow up all through our lives into the fullness of Christ. But you might ask here at the end of our lesson, well, this promise of the gospel of restoration sounds really wonderful. How would I actually obtain that promise for myself and find those blessings for my own life? Well, that's a wonderful question, and that's why the Nationwide Gospel Call exists. It should not be a secret to anyone, because God has, through Jesus Christ, revealed to us here in these last days exactly what we need to know to obey the gospel. You see, Peter, the same one who wrote the verse we just read in Acts 2:38, was teaching a crowd of people from all over the Roman Empire as he taught the first gospel sermon in Acts 2 and 38. And he tells us there, and in every example in the book of Acts, we have 8 beautiful examples, and it's always the same pattern. It's always the same gospel message. If we are wanting to enter into that relationship with our Creator God, because of what Jesus did on the cross, if we believe through our study of the Word that he is indeed the Son of God, and if we are convicted to the point we are sorry for disobeying God, sorry for a self-willed life, a stubborn life, doing our own thing rather than the things of God, and we're ready to repent, and that simply means to turn around and start following Jesus rather than following our own desires, and we're willing to name Jesus as our Lord and Savior, willing to tell the world we're not following the things of this world, we're not following the leadership of this world that always leads us into conflict and violence and hatred and division. No, we're following the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then Jesus asks us to do something very simple. He asks us to go through a beautiful reenactment of his death, burial, and resurrection through the act of baptism. He asks us to, as the Ethiopian eunuch was taught by Philip the Evangelist, to go down into the water and be completely submerged in water, just like we were being buried, and brought out of that water. And at that point, God gives us his promise that he will restore us to that relationship we were created to have with him. He will wash us clean through the blood of Jesus. Oh, it's not a mystical experience. It's just an experience of obedience. And it's a time that we can forever remember as our birthday as we begin a new life in Jesus Christ. Restoration is that life of penitent transparency that the world longs to see as an authentic expression of the children of God. May God give us the courage to always preach and pursue the gospel of restoration. It's been a privilege sharing these verses with you this evening, and I pray that you will be able to enter into the church through the blood of Jesus Christ by obeying his gospel and find that place of unity, of love, of peace that has been such a great blessing to my life, not only here in the United States, but in every nation I have ever lived in or worked in. May God bless you this week with these gospel words.